get started, folks. Good evening and welcome to the Derby Township Board of Supervisors Community Recreation Center and Operation Analysis open meeting. Would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this point, I will turn the microphone presentation over to Matt Mandia, the Director of Parks and Recreation. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members, members of the public. Thank you all for being here this evening. Once again, to be part of the planning process and to learn about the information that we've recently gathered by the completion of our operations analysis related to the new Recreation Community Center initiative. Three individuals I'd like to introduce here this evening, and sitting in the middle is Ken Ballard from Ballard King Associates. Ken's firm was the firm that completed the operations analysis. Ken flew in from Colorado today, so very appreciative, Ken, for you making it here tonight. I also want to introduce Greg Kousis from Capital Construction Management, who's been assisting with fact-checking our project estimating as well as our project schedule, and Zach Jackson, who is the Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation, who has been extremely instrumental in assisting in providing departmental information throughout the operations analysis process. I anticipate this presentation being very similar to the presentation that we conducted in June. And for those that may not have been here in June, I do think it is important, and I plan to give just a brief overview of the planning process that we've undertaken beginning in 2014, bringing us here to this evening. Then I'll be turning the program over to Ken, who will be providing a summary of the operations analysis. At the conclusion of Ken's presentation, Greg will be reviewing some of the construction and engineering costs for the various options that were included within the study. And at that point, we'll be opening it up, opening the floor for board comments as well as public questions and answers. If you do have any comments or questions, we would just ask that you would come to this microphone here to pose those questions in the microphone here. Once again, some housekeeping as a reminder. This presentation is being videotaped and recorded and will be placed on the Township's website for your viewing, much like the presentation in June. If you know anyone that has not was not able to be here this evening, please let them know that resource will be available on the website. So to get started on the program here, just to provide a brief overview of the planning process. In October of 2014, the Township created a stakeholders group that includes the Derry Township School District, the Moeller Senior Center, our aquatics community, the Penn State Hershey Medical Center, Milton Hershey School, and citizens at large, and at the beginning really established the roadmap for how we were going to proceed in the planning process, and continues to provide very valuable input today. In 2015, the Township engaged Ballard King Associates to conduct a market analysis, which included public listening sessions that we had at the Recreation Center, and created a preliminary program for the facility. Ken will briefly be touching on some of the components of the market analysis during his presentation, which really kind of establishes a foundation for his findings in the operations analysis. And then next, in 2016, the Township engaged Kimmel Bogret Architecture and Site, and they developed a conceptual plan from the information gathered from the Ballard King preliminary program. That concept plan was presented at a public presentation many of you were at in June. In addition, this past summer, the Township re-engaged Ken's firm to conduct an operations analysis, looking at the various options created with the conceptual planning stage. I want to stress that the operations analysis part of this process is extremely important as it provides for preliminary annual financial forecast for both expenditures and revenues for the various program options within the study. So with that, I want to introduce Ken Ballard. Ken As a founding partner of Ballard King Associates, Ken has over 35 years of experience in recreation facility operations and planning. In his years of work with Ballard King, Ken has provided planning, feasibility, and operations consulting to more than 250 recreation projects across the country. His diverse experience led to his active involvement with the Colorado Parks and Recreation Association's Recreation Facility Design and Management School. For the last 13 years, Ken has been a faculty member at the Athletic Business Conference, where he provides instruction on recreation facility planning. He's also been a speaker at several National Recreation and Park Association congresses and numerous state parks and recreation conferences. Prior to co-founding Ballard King, he was a recreation manager for the city of Thornton, Colorado, and was a key member of the team responsible for the pre-design phase of the recreation center. For 12 years before joining them, he was the director of the Englewood, Colorado Recreation Center, which received the Facility of Merit Award from Athletic Business Magazine for Design and Operations Excellence. So we're very fortunate to have Ken on board here to have done the analysis for us. And at this time, I turn it over to Ken for his presentation.
Well, good evening, and thank you very much, Matt, members of the board and the public. It's my pleasure this evening to kind of take you through the highlights of the operations plan and looking at a number of different options, especially as it relates to aquatics for the recreation center. Just a little bit about who we are, that's in addition more from a firm basis than just myself. We were established in 1992, so we're celebrating our 25th year in business. All we do is recreation planning work. We don't do anything else. We're a nationwide firm. We've worked in 49 states. We've done over 700 feasibility and operation studies for facilities. We have over about 200 now different types of centers open and operating around the country. We're all former parks and recreation professionals in some area of the country, and we've all been involved in the development and operation of public recreation facilities. And that's really our expertise, and that's where we kind of cut our teeth. And we're really known for developing operating pro formas for facilities. We also have done extensive work in Pennsylvania over the years. I've got two other active projects here in the state right now going on. And we do a lot of work in New England and up and down the East Coast as well. So we're familiar with your area of the country. And we also have a vast experience in aquatic facility management. We've actually developed and operated three different 50-meter pools, one in Colorado and two in Missouri. And so we've got a lot of experience with those types of pools. We have two ex-college swimmers on our staff as well, so we really do support the competitive aquatic aspect of these projects as well. So with that in mind, what I want to do is kind of give you just a brief overview of kind of the market analysis, as Matt indicated. And the reason we look at this is because this does have a direct bearing on the utilization rates for the facility and ultimately the revenue stream that will come in from that source. So back about a year or so ago, when we did the market analysis, we looked at two market areas, and this is pretty typical for a planning effort for a facility of this nature. We identify a primary service area, which is the distance people will travel once a week or more to utilize the facility. So they're going to be regular, weekly users of a center, regardless of the type of facility it might be. And that really included Derry Township, Palmyra, and Hummelstown, in that kind of area. So it's reasonably small. And then we went and looked at a larger secondary service area, and as the name indicates, that's where people come a lot less often. So they may be more of, it's more of a planned outing. And so they may be coming for certain activities, certain events, but not probably going to be generally strong, just everyday users of the facility. And that service area, is pretty large. And we know we won't pull people nearly from the same rate as we will from the primary market. But it's marked by Lebanon to the east, Elizabethtown to the south, nearly to the outskirts of Harrisburg to the west, and I-81 to the north. So, again, that's a large area, and that's kind of what's outlined there in the blue. So what do we know about this market area? Well, we looked at a lot of different aspects when we look at different characteristics. Obviously, we want to know what the population is. And within the primary market, you can see we have about 64,000 folks estimated in 2015 within that market area. And the secondary is over 200,000, almost 265. So it's obviously much, much larger. We're interested in growth numbers and projections moving forward. Is the size of the market getting larger, staying the same, or maybe even getting smaller? And in this particular case, there's growth in both the primary and the secondary market projected through 2020 and beyond that. We also want to know how many households are present in the marketplace, what the distribution is of income, what the median age is, also average household size, which tells us the presence of children in the marketplace as well. And we look at all of these characteristics because they have a direct bearing on the rates of participation in the types of facilities and the types of activities that would take place in a recreation center. So they have a direct bearing, all these different characteristics, on how a facility will perform from a financial standpoint. So we know a lot of different characteristics, as we mentioned in there. One of the other key things is a lot of the growth numbers in the future years are going to be in the senior age groups. And that's not unusual. We see that across the United States now, as we see the baby boomer cohort working through the different age classifications. So that almost every community in the United States now has a bubble coming into that senior age group. You do have a higher median household income level, especially in the primary market. That helps in terms of ability to pay. We look at what we call a spending potential index for recreation activities, and the primary market has a very high spending potential index for recreational activities. But you're an older population, and you have fewer households with children. And so that does impact rates of participation. Not too surprisingly, the younger the population is, the greater the rates of participation in most activities. Beyond just looking at the demographics, it's critical to understand who's also out there in the marketplace that's providing services, whether it's other public entities, whether it's the nonprofit sector, or even the for-profit side of things. And there's a number of facilities. YMCA is president. Is present in the marketplace, especially in Lebanon. You do have a number of private fitness providers in the marketplace as well. So there are people and organizations and entities that are providing some level of indoor recreation services to this area already. So that's kind of a little background on the marketplace. And then as Matt indicated, Kimball Bogret, the architect, who we work with on a number of projects in Pennsylvania, and do on a regular basis, or we're well aware of their design expertise, and we do work hand in hand on a lot of projects. So this past summer, they worked on a preliminary design concept for the facility that's shown up here on the screen, and I won't take the time to go through all the individual spaces, but this is the basis, again, along with the market analysis, for the operations plan. It's based on this configuration of the building, at least to where it sits right now, on the amenities that are shown in there and the approximate sizes. This being the first floor, and obviously then it's looked at as being a two-level facility with some fitness and wellness on the upper levels. And so this again was what we utilized to develop the actual operations plan for the facility. So once we started and had the baseline information, we developed some assumptions that went along with how we developed the plan. I think the clear thing is this operating numbers that we're showing you for both expenses and revenues are only for the recreation center. Nothing else associated with any type of maintenance or operation of parks or other recreation facilities that are outside of this center. So it's strictly just for the center itself. We looked at three different options in detail. We call a base facility that's around 90,000 square feet. That contains a variety of different elements, from the senior aspect of the facility to aquatics, plus an outdoor pool. And in this particular version, what we're really going to be looking at is the difference between the different aquatics options that are being presented. In this particular one, everything remained constant in terms of the what we call dry side amenities, and the big change was in the size of the competitive pool. And in the base facility, this is basically a 25-yard by 25-meter pool, gets you about 10 lanes in yard configuration. The second option, the other one, important to realize, the base facility does not include any type of fitness elements at all. So those were not shown in this particular option. The second one was with the 50-meter pool. So everything was the same as the first option, except now the pool basically doubled in size, went from a 25-yard by 25-meter to a 50-meter pool. And so the pool is just that much bigger than what the other first option was, but everything else remained basically the same. And then the third option took the base facility with the 25 by 25 pool and now incorporated fitness elements into the facility, and that one then is the third option. We also kind of at the end looked at a fourth option, and that was what happens if we take the 50-meter pool and add the fitness to us, and rather than just having the fitness added to the base facility with the smaller pool. That one we didn't do a detailed operating plan. We basically did some takeoffs on the earlier versions and came up with an estimate. But I just for clarity's sake, we did not do a detailed operating pro forma for that particular option. Some of the other assumptions that went into this is the senior programs and services will be provided by the existing senior center. Their expenses are not shown in this budget. No form of a lease payment or any other type of compensation coming from the seniors is shown in this operating budget, but it is expected that the senior center will still continue to operate and function using their own organizational structure. Importantly, in this, the first year of operation would be 2020 or later, and the budget represents the second full year of operation. And the reason we don't do it on the first year is it relates to expenses. The building is still under warranty, so you're not fully burdened with all your costs that you'd be associated with operation. So it's not real representative of your true costs. So we take the second year, but it's a snapshot of that second year, basically in the year 2020 or later. So we're forecasting out 3 years, basically, from where we sit today before this facility would be open. So not only costs of operation, staffing costs, rates of use, everything is based on projecting out at least a minimum of 3 years. The presence of the providers in the marketplace will remain the same. In other words, you know, we can't factor in if somebody else comes into the marketplace, whether they're another for-profit provider or a non-profit or whatever it might be. It's based on what we know today. The center will be continued to be operated by Derry Township with the exception of the senior aspect. And it will be contract clean. And you'd say, well, that's kind of a detail, but it does impact a lot on how we staff the facility, which would look much different if you were internally cleaning the building yourself. So it just impacts how we estimate expenses. Again, the rates of compensation for full-time and part-time staff are based on 220, again, projections. And we also took the fee schedule that was developed for this facility, which I'll show you in a minute, and projected that out to 2020 as well, and based it on comparable rates for comparable facilities within this marketplace as best we could. We have taken a real reasonable and I would say conservative approach to estimating revenues. Revenues from past sales, revenues from programs, revenues from rentals, from the aquatic side of things. We've taken a conservative approach to this. A, we're early in the process. B, we don't have a final design. And C, we're forecasting out 3+ years. So we've been conservative. We're known for having our facilities outperform our operations plans that we put together. And that's what we want to continue to be known for. And so we want to have an operating plan that's doable, and you can consistently hit the numbers that we've shown and hopefully outperform those. And one of the other key things is this is based on what we call a preliminary concept plan for the facility. Once, if the project does move forward, there's a final design. This operations plan should be updated. It can be, you can sharpen the pencil a little bit more. get a little more tighter on not only what your costs are going to be, but also a little bit better estimation on revenue. So this is just the first go-round based on a preliminary concept for the facility that I showed you earlier. And it's not unusual through this process to have sometimes two, if not three, updates prior to opening actually a facility where you get and you match up really with what your costs of operation and are going to be and what the revenue potential really will be once the facility is totally laid out and under construction. What are some other important aspects of just estimating costs and revenues? Well, the big one for costs are what are you going to, how often and how long is the facility going to be open? So it's based on basically 102 hours a week, 7 days a week, basically from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, about 12 hours, 7 to 7 on Saturdays, and about 9 to 7 on Sundays. So, part of our issue is we have to staff a lot of hours in this facility, and that's a normal fact. We see facilities now sometimes as up as high as 105 hours, maybe as high as 110 hours a week now on an operating schedule, and that's based on demand for use of the facility and also expectations for the public in terms of when they can get to use the facility. So that's the basis, and that impacts especially our staffing numbers, both full-time and part-time, to get the adequate coverage for the facility. The outdoor pool, which obviously would be a seasonal operation, and we've estimated those hours of basically being 10 to 8 on Monday through Sunday. So they're obviously a little bit different and certainly are only during the summer season. But we did factor that in for the operation of the outdoor pool portion of this project. We also needed to develop a fee schedule, and we had to develop two fee schedules. The first one we're showing is without fitness, and the reality is the presence of fitness amenities, whether they're weight cardio space or whether they're group exercise areas within a facility, will provide more value, and you can charge more for use of that facility. When we take that out of the equation, we have to draw back the fee schedule. So it's the option without fitness, which is basically the first two options, the what we call the base facility and the 50-meter option, are showing it without. We're showing it with this fee schedule. We have both resident and non-resident rates, and that would the non-resident would be people outside of the township. Different categories for admissions from adult, youth, senior, and family. And then we have daily admissions, 10 admissions, 1 month, 3 month, and an annual pass, and also the option for doing it on what we call an electronic funds transfer, where it's taken out of a checking account or other form of a credit account on a monthly basis. So there's a variety of different fees in there, a variety of different ways people can gain access to the facility. One of the other important things to understand is in a facility of this nature, people can be coming in to take classes, programs, coming to meetings, other things without buying any type of form of admission. So if they were just coming in to, say, take a swimming lesson, you don't have to pay any of the fees that are shown up here. You just strictly pay for that particular program activity. It would be that way for any of the other programs as well. So it doesn't require a fee payment, strictly to utilize the building. And again, you could be there for meetings and other programs going on, and that won't require that either. The option with fitness, again, because of the value that element provides within the facility, the fee structure is more aggressive, and so it's higher than the previous one I showed you. The structure, the options are the same, the fees are just higher, and again, mirror other facilities that have these types of elements in the marketplace. So, that's all kind of the background and the assumptions that went into the plan for the facility. And what we did then is developed a line item budget, each of the three options that we're showing up here, and utilizing the existing accounts that are in place that Matt and Zach are using now for the recreation center, and we estimated the expected expenses in each of those accounts. And that includes all the different staffing numbers. We even allocated certain staff percentages out of existing full-time staff on the administrative level into this budget as well. It includes utilities, all the other factors that would be basically part of the operation of this facility. For revenues, then, we did the same thing. We estimated the numbers of users at each of those different fee categories that we showed you based on the market penetration rates, and again, taking a very conservative approach to that in each of those different areas, calculated out the revenue potential also from programs and services taking place within that building, from rentals of space and other sources of income, and we came out with those totals. So, when we look at that, right now, the base facility, which remember is basically all the different indoor elements, minus fitness, and including a 25-yard by 25-meter pool. It does include what we call a recreational pool as well as the outdoor pool. And the annual cost of operation is about $2.7 million. That doesn't include any debt service. It does have a small amount of money in there for capital replacement from the first year out of this. And revenues at about $2 million, so the annual operating shortfall is about $780,000 per year. Option two, again, is basically the same as the base facility, except we now went from a 25-yard and 25-meter pool to a 50-meter pool, and now our costs go up to about a little over $3 million annually. Our revenues jump up to about $2.1 million, and our operational shortfall is about $900,000 annually. The third option then took the base facility, added the fitness elements back into that. Our costs are about $3.2 million. Our revenues jump up substantially to about $2.8 million, and our operational shortfall per year is about $400,000. And about, you can see the differences in the percentage of cost recovery from a low of about 70% to a high of 88%. So that's kind of where we are on those three options. And then as I indicated, and the reason I'm showing this as a separate slide, if you will, is because, again, we did not take the detail to quite the same level. But the other one was taking the 50-meter option and including that with the fitness. Now, we're able to extrapolate out the information from that previous slide to get this pretty close. And so it's got an income level about an expense level about $3.5 million and revenues about $3 million. And so that operational shortfall of about $529 annually and about 85% cost recovery. So those are kind of the summary documents, if you will. There's about 15 to 17 pages of Excel backups for all of this that gets us to these summaries. So it's done in huge amount of detail based on hours of work for all the part-time staff, based on the programs that would take place there, the cost for those programs. So it's got a lot of detail backing up the numbers that I'm showing you right now. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Greg for a minute, and he'll talk a little about some of the cost numbers from a capital perspective and also some of the funding.
Thank you.
So as Ken said, I'm going to talk a little bit about the capital side of the project in terms of capital costs. Much of this is the same information that we presented back in June when we looked at the conceptual design estimate. There's a few things that have been updated. So the numbers that are sort of in the middle of this slide are the capital costs that are associated with each of the different scenarios that Ken had been talking about. So the first one is the base facility, 89,000 square feet. The construction cost estimate is really identical to what we had looked at back in June. We have some updated projected design fees and soft costs, which take us to a total anticipated project cost for that scenario of $26.8 million. The second option is with the addition of the 50-meter pool. And back in June, we had done a conceptual estimate for the 50-meter addition that was about $3.9 million. And that was off of strictly a guesstimate on increase of the building size. Since that time, Kimmel Burgett has actually done a sketch for us, which we were able to put some pricing to. And the costing from that sketch came out very similar to what we had done back in June. It's slightly higher. Between construction costs and the small increase in the design fees and in the soft costs associated with that bigger facility, the incremental cost to build the 50-meter pool is about $4.1 million, which takes us to the total construction project cost of $30.9 million, almost $31 million. And again, these are total project costs that we're looking at, so it's the hard construction costs as well as all the soft costs that are associated with building the project, design fees, inspection fees, review fees, all of those type of things. The third option is the base facility with the addition of the fitness, and really the only difference between option one and option three, the addition of the fitness, is purchasing the fitness equipment itself. So the facility size and layout doesn't really change between those two options, and the difference is the cost of the athletic equipment that would go into a fitness center. And that's really represented down here in some of the soft costs, and it's somewhat just a little bit less than $300,000. The last category, as Kenneth says, is with both the addition of the 50-meter pool and fitness, and that's just a recap of these two other scenarios. Construction costs slightly higher, soft costs to represent the additions for both of these, and total project cost of $31.2 million. So that's really the construction cost summary in terms of where we are with the conceptual drawings that have been put together. I will say that at this level of design and this level of detail in the drawings, there is always opportunities going forward for cost savings if the project were to be approved to move forward. There's lots of things in terms of how the building is put together, how it's constructed, choice of materials that go into the building that leave some flexibility for adjustments in the price, and we understand there's always the desire and to try and increase efficiencies and bring the project cost down. So I will say that the building that we're looking at right now in terms of putting together budget pricing, that there are opportunities for that. Right now, schematically, there's a lot of glass, there's a lot of masonry. You know, some of those things can be choices that can be looked at during a schematic design phase to provide an opportunity to realize some savings in the cost. That's all I got. Matt?
And the last piece that I just want to touch on briefly, and one of our main goals is to, as we're doing these public sessions, is to continually build and to create kind of comprehensive view of how we're going to approach this project. And certainly one of the main items on that is, you know, potential funding sources. So we did list, in addition to the capital campaign that would most likely occur, as well as bond financing, other creative grant programs and other funding opportunities. We want to make sure we turn every rock over. So we listed some of these on the chart this evening of these programs that we're taking a look at. In some of these options, you'll see that there may be additional opportunity for funding, once again, for a 50-meter pool, for instance, in terms of looking at it in an economic development perspective, may open up some funding opportunities. There's also potential for the smaller pool to also have some of those opportunities too. So we just wanted to kind of make it clear to everyone that, you know, we're looking at a full range, plus there'll be some additional, I'm sure, from this chart of other grant and funding opportunities that are out there for the project. So once again, we've been compiling and working hard on this chart, and I think this kind of gives a pretty comprehensive view of where we are today. And once again, want to thank Ken and Greg for your input here this evening as well. So at this time, I'd like to turn it back to the board for any board comments and or public comments, Q&A. And once again, just a reminder, if you do have comments after the board's done, please come to this microphone here, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. At this point, I'll open the questions to members of the board.
I'd like to start off, first, by thanking Matt and Greg and Ken and Zach and Jim for working on this presentation and making sure that we all understand it as best we can. As you can probably get from being here the last half hour, there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of possibilities, and it's something that we're very thoughtfully reviewing, not just tonight, but for many, many months before and for many weeks moving forward. So thank you. I also, Matt, wanted to make sure that folks knew when we talked about the projected loss per year, that might have shocked a lot of you, but that's probably the norm in communities with recreation centers, and Matt, I was hoping you could just speak briefly to that loss and how some of those losses are actually better than current losses.
Sure. Admittedly, a very big number. Just some history. Back in 1993, the Recreation Department had an operating deficit of just over $800,000, and that was in 1993. We were able to, through expenditure reductions and generation of additional revenues, in 1995, we were able to get that operating deficit down to $269,000. We knocked about $600,000 off of that deficit. We found in the early 2000s that with our current footprint of our building, in terms of programming space, in terms of water surface area, we basically hit a plateau in terms of our revenue generation potential. And the revenues have plateaued since that time. But unfortunately, during that time, operations of a 54-year-old facility, contractual obligations, increased utilities and insurances and all those factors have once again increased that operating deficit to about where we were in 1993. We have reached kind of that plateau right now, and certainly operating an older facility, you're going to run into those. So it is interesting to see the current operating deficit in comparison to some of the numbers that, that Ken had presented, and we're kind of still in that ballpark. So hopefully that answers. Sure.
Just for clarity, what is the operating deficit at the correct time currently?
We're at about a budgeted deficit for 2017 is 713.
Okay, great. Thanks. Not the 800 reflected on the slide.
Correct. Well, when you back out parks, and so that we're comparing apples to apples, we were at 713 for 2017.
Yeah. Other additional questions from the board? Mr. Moyer.
Yes. I don't mean to make light of this, but it seems like we're attempting to argue that an $800,000 operating deficit is a good thing. I don't think it is. In terms of page two, Mr. Ballard.
Mark, would you get the microphone?
Sure. And as I said, I don't consider $800,000 operating deficit to be a good thing, even when we're dealing now with a purported state-of-the-art building. That large deficit was due in part to maintenance costs and things like that that I wouldn't think we would undertake through a part of the state-of-the-art building that we're proposing right now. But be that as it may, we received a report, operational analysis report. Page two of the report indicates that the report, the numbers on those matrices, which ultimately lead to those numbers, indicate, quote, a reasonably aggressive approach to estimating use and revenues from past sales and programs. And Mr. Ballard, sir, I believe you indicated in your opening remarks that the figures reflected in this presentation here tonight are somewhat conservative. So I'm a little confused as to whether or not the facts and figures there are aggressive or whether they are conservative in terms of revenues and or expenditure.
Well, we did an initial run through. It was a more aggressive on the pass sales. We dialed that back in the last couple of months, and so now what we're seeing and what I showed you up there from on the screen is much more of a conservative approach to that in terms of the market penetration rates. We definitely took a much more conservative approach to that.
Okay. But the numbers you're showing are the same as in this report, correct?
The numbers, yes, but we changed the descriptor on the assumptions changed when we modified the last version of the report and took a more conservative approach to that. So the last version had, that I showed you up there, talked about it being a much more reasonable approach and not nearly as aggressive on the estimate for passes and program revenues.
Right, but the numbers that are in this report that we were just given fairly recently, in which it's characterized as an aggressive approach, are the same numbers which you presented here tonight. So having difficulty reconciling what's written in the report here as an aggressive approach with what you orally described as a conservative approach in terms of expected revenues and expenditures.
Well, there were two different documents. One of them was the Excel worksheet where we worked through it. The second one was the list of assumptions. Now, if we don't have the match up with the right Excel document with the right assumption page, then yes, that's going to look not right. But what is, when we did the more conservative option that you see the figures now, then we changed the assumption page to match our more conservative approach to that. So I'm not sure how that came out that way because we changed the assumption page once we changed the numbers in the Excel worksheet. So maybe a question of using an earlier version of the assumption page with the newer version of the Excel worksheet.
Sir, with respect to your experience in recreation center projects, what is your experience with the amount of cost overruns associated with a project of this scope and this size and type in terms of change orders and design changes and things like that? Because we're looking at $27 million to $31 million expenditure here, depending on the configuration. What's your experience with that type of overrun?
That's really out of our area. We really deal with the operations side of things, not with the capital side. That's probably a better question for Greg in terms of that than myself.
Greg?
Yeah, I would say that those total project costs include contingencies in them. So when you're looking at that as a total project budget, what I would say is that those would be expected final project costs for the building.
So the $27,008,000 is the ceiling that you would expect
yes.
for the cost of the project.
Yep.
Mark, if I could get back to your point about the deficit, please understand I wasn't trying to say that was a good thing, but I think what everybody in the room, our board included, needs to understand is that some things do operate as a deficit in our community. And short of closing the doors on the rec center and closing the doors on the library, which I'm sure Jim can chime in, probably also operates as a deficit. Many of our things operate as a deficit because it's part of the services that we offer in our community. So while, you know, if it was our home budget and we were in that much of a deficit, we'd be in real trouble. Part of operating a community like this or any community means that you must run some things as a deficit. It's not set out to be a money maker. However, you want to lose as little as you can. So I think that's why we're looking at all these numbers tonight and trying to intelligently decide the best way to support our recreational efforts in Derry Township for the foreseeable future, the best way to fund it, and the best way to meet the needs of everybody in this room and in the community.
I appreciate that. I totally understand that some things are not revenue generators, and this certainly isn't going to be. But since we are dealing with other people's money, specifically tax dollars, need to keep our eye on that.
That's why we're here tonight, and I just want to make sure that folks here understood that there are a lot of things in our community that don't generate revenue.
And I do think it's important to note that I think, Matt, you took us back to 1995, and Mark, for all intent purposes, I think you've been here about 8 years, so this is not a surprise.
No, I'm not surprised.
Okay.
Okay. So, sir, one of the assumptions in your report is that other providers in the area will remain the same. In the event another community in the region builds a swim center, that could significantly impact expected revenues for this type of project, correct?
Well, there's a lot of different factors that would depend upon where it is, what type of a swim center, what the size of it is, its availability, what they're going to charge for use of that. So there's so many variables that come into play, it's hard to estimate what impact it would have. I mean, that's why we put that in there, because we cannot, at this point, really surmise on what might occur down the road and if it will have any significant impact on a facility or not.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. On page 3 of your report, and I think you had a spreadsheet up there talking about fee schedules,
right?
Options with fitness and options without fitness, and there seems to be, and for the sake of discussion, a differential between annual pass memberships for residents and non-residents. And one of my concerns is that, given the significant tax increase that is likely to result from this type of project, that non-residents will enjoy the use of the facility for an aggregate less amount than our residents will, when factoring not only the price of a season ticket, plus when you add the tax increase to the average residents resulting from the borrowing that's going to be needed to pay for this project. So my question is, are you able to speak to this evening whether there is a particular price point at which a non-resident will look at a membership and say, you know what, this is a price point that's too rich for my blood. I'm not going to buy a season membership. In the event we as a board have a goal of ensuring that our residents don't pay more than non-residents for use of this facility.
Well, the fee schedule we developed for both options was designed to keep the non-resident rate within the market norm. And so we weren't pricing the non-resident out of the market. The assumption would be that, and we calculated in utilization and revenues from non-residents as part of this pro forma, and the idea is that while they'd be paying more, their revenue will help to lower the cost of operation, or not lower the cost, but lower the deficit from the operation. And, you know, the issue becomes, yes, if you were saying, well, right now it's factored on about 25% differential between the resident and non-resident. If you're saying we want to go to 35, we want to go to 50%, then that would price the non-resident to the point where, you know, obviously depending upon how far you go with that, where they're now going to be out of the market, where they go, well, I've got other alternatives that are significantly cheaper. So now we start to be a little bit counterproductive on that option. And so that it's always a dilemma unless you're, and there's some communities that are large enough, they're going, I don't really want the non-resident user, so they price the non-resident much higher.
Right.
I don't think we're in that situation, so we want to keep them both in the market. The bigger the differential, somebody has to be out of the market. Either the resident's going to be paying far lower than the market to keep the non-resident, or the non-resident's going to have to pay much higher, thereby pricing them out. So it's always a kind of a situational thing, and we're trying to get the best position we can.
I appreciate that. And the dilemma that the board's facing, obviously, is that the amount of average tax increase coupled with the annual pass price not exceed or equal what a non-resident is paying for the same services.
Well,
so I appreciate that.
Just to add to that, though, and just so that everyone's clear, we haven't figured out how to pay for this yet. There may be a tax increase, but we don't know that it's significant at this point. Mark, I'm sorry, I didn't laugh when you asked.
Well, I appreciate that, Susan.
Thank you. So there's a lot of financing that we have to look into right now. And obviously, the goal of this board would be to try to find a solution that meets the needs of the residents as best it can for as little as it can. And does that mean there won't be a tax increase? Probably not. But does it mean that we know what it is? Absolutely not. We're looking at state funding, at capital campaigns. There are a lot of funding sources available to us, whether we decide to go options 1, 2, 3, or 4. I think doing nothing isn't really an option, because then we're going to ultimately be closing the doors to that recreation center. And we do have a fair number, Matt, of outside of Derry Township folks, non-residents, using the facility now. So, and I'm sure when this was built in 63, they had some similar debates and discussions. But you know, when you live in a community like this, it's your responsibility to make sure that you're offering certain services to residents. So I think, you know, what price point we price the non-resident passes, so we, you know, make sure we're getting people from Palmyra here, should not be something we're really sweating right now. There's a lot of different things we have to discuss.
Exactly. But we did recently, maybe had an opportunity to look at that, but even borrowing $13 million off a $31 million project is going to result in a doubling of our capital fund within 8 years. So just to say that this, even at the lowest borrowing amount, I mean, it's not going to have a significant tax increase, I think is kind of disingenuous, but that, we're not there yet.
No, but this is why, if you remember back to last Tuesday's meeting, we have gotten the help lined up with PFM to try to figure out how the investment is happening.
And
so let's not talk now about numbers. We don't know what the numbers are.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why I'm saying that even under the best of scenarios, I don't think it's safe to say that we're not going to experience that. But we're going to talk about that on October 31st when we have our budget. My question for you, sir, is I have several questions with respect to the Excel spreadsheet and the assumptions that you make in your report with respect to anticipated revenue and projections. I don't see anything in this report as to the source materials you use that you rely upon for your expense and revenue calculations. And I was just curious as to what your source material is for your cost projections, your revenue projections, and your expense projections.
It's a number of things. We spent a lot of time working with Zach and with Matt, understanding existing budgets, understanding what was in there, how they were calculated, so we have a baseline of information from the existing center and how things are budgeted at the current level. Then we forecast out what we expect the expenditures to be based on the elements that are in the facility, based on current costs for those services and how they're incurred. There's no real formulaic way to do that. That's why we get hired to do this, is because of our background in estimating costs for these facilities and being able to do that. Same thing on the revenue side. What are your existing uses now? What are you charging for fees? On the number of people that you have in your program? And again, what are the elements that are going to be in the facility? What does the market tell us regarding the ability to pay, the presence of other providers, and calculating out the utilization rates and the revenue rates coming from the different sources based on those projections? Again, even through some discussions with staff, we in the end dialed those back to be more conservative than what they were originally. Within our market numbers of what we generally see for market penetration rates, we're at the very low end of what we see in most other comparable areas with similar demographics from what we're projecting. So, you know, we use our expertise on these facilities and the fact that we've done this for our own facilities that we've operated ourselves over the years. We've done it for literally over 200 facilities that are open around the country. We utilize our data, we utilize the information, and developing those things. So it's really our expertise and background in doing it. It's not anything where there's a simple formula on this to get to a number. It's simply not that. It doesn't work that way.
And that's fair enough, sir. Thank you. And
With respect to your revenue projections, have you done an analysis on how much local gyms charge for their memberships?
We generally know what some of the certain ones are providing. We used a lot of that information. We actually use a lot more information from the YMCA because we see those as being more comparable in terms of the market segments that they generally go after than the private health clubs. So we looked at what they were charging. Well, we looked at what other public facilities. I mean, the closest public facilities of similar nature that you can benchmark against would be the Friendships and then Lower Paxton. But we tried to use all of that in coming up with a fee schedule that was workable. And also, again, calculating that this fee schedule would go into place for at least 3 years. So also understanding that it's not necessarily what the fees are going to be today, but what they need to be 3 years out.
I do have a number of questions pertaining to some of the assumptions that you have with respect to your expenditures and revenues, but I'm going to defer those because, frankly, I don't want to bore everyone here to death in terms of those.
Thank you. I was going to say, Mark, if we could share some of the questions for the other board members so that we allow the public to have have their comment also.
Absolutely.
So if I can, Matt, do you have questions?
Just for Bruce, yeah. I'm interested in the community to do projects. What is the nature of this community? Are they communities that are growing? Are they communities that are growing, that have a lot of income coming in from new growth? Are they static communities, or what is the nature of the community?
Well, they're all over the page. There's some that are growing very quickly, others that aren't seeing much growth at all. So it varies pretty dramatically. There's facilities being built in communities that have much lower incomes. There's a variety of different characteristics in place. They've changed dramatically over the last 20 years, where you used to have thresholds of sizes of communities where we'd simply say, geez, if you weren't 50,000 people, you probably couldn't afford to do this. Well, that went by the wayside. We saw communities of 20, 30,000 building these facilities. So it really always came down to, in the end, a value judgment by members of those communities of whether they felt like whatever the cost was going to be, whether it was going to be from a tax basis or something else, was worth doing this kind of facility. So it's varied pretty dramatically in terms of where these types of facilities have been built and what the characteristics are.
No, I'm anxious to hear from the public. I just want to add that one thing we haven't mentioned that we have to figure into the decision eventually is the fact that power train exists and that we get a lease payment from power train. And do you recall, anybody recall it's $144,000? I believe that that facility was losing money until we leased it to power train. And I think that if we enter into some type of business operation, we have to really consider how that's going to affect our tenants.
We do. I think the number, as we were part of this, was closer to $500,000 for the community as far as lost taxpayer dollars.
It also goes to the question of whether we want to compete as a government entity with private entities who are offering this too. I mean, there's more than Powertrain out there, all the other gyms as well. I'm not sure we as a community want to necessarily get into the business of competing with those from a fitness standpoint.
Matt, idea. Could you please just make sure everyone knows what the word fitness means?
Yes.
If we dispense with equipment, like Nautilus equipment, there still be fitness opportunities at the proposed new rec center. So just make sure everyone understands what we're talking about.
Fitness, you're right. Fitness isn't just treadmills and stationary weight machines. It's everything from group fitness exercise to just a wide range. Zoom, all the programming that's out there. So. There is a tendency to kind of group fitness when you think of treadmills and weight machines, so there's a lot of opportunity that we would have in the facility if we didn't have the weights. But that's something that I'm sure we'll be discussing further as well.
Very good. Well, with the board members having had their questions, the podium and microphone are open. I'm going to ask you to just state your name and address, and tonight will be a little more lax, and we're going to try and keep it to 3 minutes for your comments, but you'll have a fair amount of latitude. So the microphone is open.
I want to let you down, John. The first thing I want to say, this is a great presentation. Yeah, I can see all that hard work went into doing it. And there's quite a lot of information we shared here tonight. One of the concerns I have, though, is we are a community. And Susan, nothing against you attacking or trying to counter his questions. I think it's very important because we just had a 23% tax increase, which nobody ever saw coming. So we can't say, oh, it's unlikely or whatever. I think we got to take a look at, like we did with the power gym, Granada gym. We wanted to get out of that business. We want to generate money. Maybe we should look at partnering. We have the senior citizens. We have, they want to get involved with Mower Center. What about the Hershey Company? Why aren't they partnering with us? And of course, the community. Now, the thing I look around the community, the thing called the community building, that belonged to the community. That was opened up for basically seniors. They had a library there, now we have a library. But the facility is there. And I think if you want to get the downtown more involved, I think you'd probably get more response if the senior center was in the Hershey community building. What are they going to do with that? They're renovating it. What are their plans? I think a lot of us that grew up here as kids know the luxury of that building, what it has offered. It's a small theater. There's meeting rooms. They can hold anything they want. There's a gym. There's a pool. I mean, why don't we ask them about partnering with them to cut down some of the expense? What is that building going to be used for? And Jason, you brought up about this aquatic interest that wanted to put something over on near Clearwater Road. Have we partnered with them? See if they want to come in and manage it and want to take it over. Maybe we should get out of the business and let the professionals do it. Maybe they can bring it in at a lower cost to us. And again, it goes back to the question of generating the revenue. I mean, right now, and I think this is based on information shared by Matt, only 12% of our community residents utilize that facility. And I'll be honest with you, I used to join every year, and then I went to just the summer, then I realized it's cheaper for me to go day by day than join for the 3 month period. I was saving myself hundreds of dollars. And again, in order to benefit, I'd have to go 365 days a week to that facility at that cost for an adult. And I don't have the time to do that, and a lot of families won't have the time to do that. So maybe we should look at partnering, getting the Hershey interests involved. And, you know, what is that? Does anybody know what that building is going to be used for? I mean, it's sitting there, they're renovating it. It was called the Hershey Community Building. Maybe I think we got to reach out and ask them. You know, they want to be part of our community? Let's ask them. Let's find out if they want to. And with the Mower Center, I don't know if they reached out to them and asked them about the old community building, because everything is there, unless, you know, they don't want to give it up for whatever reason. And Justin, anything about that other aquatic center once coming to town? Any update on that?
That opportunity has since passed.
So how do we know?
We've had dialogue with them.
Well, that wasn't shared. That's why I'm asking. You know, transparency, communication, that's what it's all about.
It may have been one of the meetings you didn't attend, but I'm certain it's been publicized with the Sun. We've shared it at board meetings, but thank you.
All right, but you understand my point about sharing and getting everybody involved. And maybe we should do like we did with the Granada Gym, find somebody else to run it. That's their revenue generator. They're back to us. Think about it. Thank you.
When you're asked, please just state your name so that we...
Yes, sir. My name is Greg Cook. I'm the executive director of the Hershey-Harrisburg Sports and Events Authority. We are a nonprofit organization under the oversight of the Dauphin County Commissioners. We are charged with recruiting and attracting sporting events of all levels to take place here in Dauphin County. Just as a little bit of a background, we played a significant role in things like the PIAA basketball championships returning to Hershey after a few years that they moved to State College. The U.S. figure skating synchro event that happens in January. We've hosted that three times, most recently January of 2017, as well as a lot of events that you won't hear about unless your kids are participating, like U.S. Junior Nationals basketball every June that brings 200-plus teams of girls basketball AAU squads to our region for about 4 or 5 days. So that's what we're about. All these people that come in on the events that we deal with are sleeping in our hotels, they're eating at our restaurants, they're shopping at our shops, they're filling up their gas tanks before they head out of town. A lot of those restaurants, shops, or hotels might even be your businesses. They might be the place of businesses where your kids work and make their pocket change. It's all economic impact. So our position is that we would be strongly in favor of the 50-meter option for the pool. We believe it would be short-sighted to do anything less. If the significant dollars that we're talking about here are being invested in this project, we believe it would be well worth whatever the additional figures are to put in the facility that can not only serve the local community best, but one that can also be a venue that can host occasional championship-caliber events. We're talking about PIAA District 3 swimming championships, frequently held across the river at Cumberland Valley, PIAA state swimming championships, which have traditionally, historically been held at Bucknell University, PSAC swimming championships, currently at Graham Aquatic Center in York, which is only 25 meters. That's for schools like Bloomsburg, Shippensburg, Westchester, etc. The Centennial Conference, which is the athletic conference for F&M, Dickinson, Gettysburg, Johns Hopkins, and others. The Capital Athletic Conference, which is the conference of Penn State Harrisburg, which whose athletic program is growing leaps and bounds in NCAA D3, as well as some USA swimming events, probably on a regional basis, but depending on what the facility might end up looking like in reality, maybe even bigger than that. Our area is known for strengths in certain sports, not just football and basketball, but certainly field hockey and most definitely, especially here in Hershey, swimming. Doing this renovation or project the right way would help ensure the future of swimming here in Hershey and all of central Pennsylvania. The local businesses and ultimately Derry Township itself would reap the immediate and the long-term benefits when we're speaking of economic impact. I often tell people that there are two sports that we, our organization, does not spend a lot of time trying to recruit currently, and they are softball and swimming and diving. And the reasons are facilities. We don't have a multi-field softball complex with lights, which everybody's looking for, and we don't have a 50-meter pool with 8 lanes, which is what all the swimming organizations are looking for. Just by way of comparison, we deal a lot with USA Track and Field, and we have lost USA Track and Field events to other destinations around the country, and the main reason for that is the number of lanes on the track. If you probably never noticed, but if you look at some high school tracks in the area, there's only 6 lanes. USA Track and Field requires 8 lanes to host their event. So if somebody was going to install a new track facility, I would tell them make sure it's 8 lanes. And if someone is looking at doing a pool, I would tell them make sure it's 50 meters. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to speak to you tonight.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Matt Luttrell. I live at 254 Cedar Avenue, also a business owner in the community. Several things. I have a couple of questions, follow-up questions, and then a few comments, and then just a general observation. Ken, I was hoping, or Mr. Ballard, I was hoping you could speak a little bit to how the recovery percentages compare relative to other facilities that you may have done in the recently, specifically with or without the fitness. And I know we indicate 72 and 70%, 80, 88 and 85. Those are significant jumps there.
Well, Without question, facilities that have fitnesses included in that, and by that I mean both the weight cardio as well as group exercise space, consistently outperform those facilities that don't have it. It is the greatest source of revenue for facilities and the greatest margin between cost that there is. So those facilities consistently will outperform the ones that don't have it. That doesn't make any difference whether you're in Hershey, Pennsylvania, or Oregon, or Texas, or anywhere else. That just the realities of the market. It's not unusual to see facilities, community facilities that have fitness as part of that, being in the upper 80s in this part of the country to as much as 90 or more in terms of cost recovery. It's based on the other elements that you have in the facility, and quite frankly, the size of the aquatics area is part of that as well. When you start looking at 50-meter pools, it generally drives down a little bit the cost recovery level because of just the size of the water area that we're having to maintain on a daily basis. So, you know, generally anything you can do to kind of match up with other amenities that will help on the revenue side, the better off that you are.
So the models that are presented here are very comparable and in some cases may outperform what you typically see based on the conservative revenue projections.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you are in the country, and generally actually facilities on the East Coast do higher on cost recovery. If we put some of these same options on the West Coast or even in the Midwest, they wouldn't do as strong as they do here.
And then just a quick question. It was mentioned earlier, we are very preliminary stage and the cost estimates are taking into a variety of contingencies. We spoke about revenues, but how about on the expense side? Are we incorporating contingencies there? Or are they...
Well, in estimating our expense side of things, we've also been very conservative, and at this point there's a number of things kind of like on the capital costing side that we don't know exactly how that's going to be impacted. So we've estimated those things to the high side in terms of requirements for staff time, for rates of compensation, for other things. So we've been trying to be conservative on the expense side by estimating to the high side, and conservative on the revenue side by estimating a little less aggressive on that side.
So based on those comments, you definitely expect everything to outperform the current. And then as well, based on the estimate for the capital side or the facility investment, those take into consideration contingencies as well, because invariably there are changes that occur throughout projects, correct? And you've already accounted for those in here, so it seems like thank you very much for the effort that's been put forth to date here relative to that and the numbers that have been brought forth. Just a quick comment relative to national trends. And one of the things that I'm pushing for relative to the community center and the 50 meter is just the national trends of people moving out of Pennsylvania, people moving out of central PA. And as we continue to get to become an older community, what is the vision for Hershey in 2020 and 2030 and 2040? Are we intending to continue to become an older community around retirement, or are we looking to provide amenities that are going to attract new families and have people settle here for long term and continue the tradition in Hershey? So it's just a general question that I'd like everybody to kind of think about. And then the last thing that I want to say is, much as I've been encouraged by the process that's occurred, I've been incredibly discouraged by some of the divisive rhetoric that's put forth and some of the words that I chose to write down here as significant and likely to occur and disingenuous and your laughter up there. I don't understand how that is contributing to the discussion moving forward. All you're doing is inciting more angst here in our community. And we have plenty of that in a national level. I mean, these people here, we know you, Mr. Moyer. Why are you doing this? Let's have a genuine discussion. Yeah, and you ask about source materials. What are your source materials?
I'm not the expert here.
I know, but you're asking for source materials, but you're throwing things out such as significant tax increases, etc. And I want to know what your source.
With all due respect, and I do appreciate.
I appreciate
speaking prefer that we move on and just let everybody else have a chance to talk, but thank you for your...
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Moyer, please, just bring it up to the level of the rest of the community. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Ferguson. I live on Quail Hollow Road. Kevin Ferguson, Quail Hollow Road, coming over.
Okay.
I have a question for Mr. Ballard, but first I want to thank Mr. Mandia for pushing this project forward. I think you've done an excellent job in making the argument for the reasons why we need a new facility. Essentially, what we have isn't going to make it too much longer. And I think that the best thing about this whole project is that hopefully, finally, we'll have a place in the middle of winter where we can take our kids in Hershey, where they can blow off some steam and get some exercise. Because right now, there's really nowhere to take them in the winter months. So this, for whatever else happens, I think this is a great project for that. But I want to go back to the issue of the percent recovery as well. Maybe you could explain how you came up with these figures. For it's 70% with a 50-meter pool, and then it's 88% with fitness. But as the board has pointed out, in the area there's a lot of competition for fitness, and there's no competition for aquatics in the area. And so I'm not sure how you get such an increase in business with the fitness and not with the pool, because the way I look at this is if you put in a 50-meter pool, right now, if it's just a 10-lane pool, I'm not sure how the community really benefits from just a 10-lane pool as far as having greater access with more reasonable hours to use the pool for lap swimming or whatever it may be. That 10-lane pool will probably still be used the same way the pool is today. But if you put in a 50-meter pool, I believe you're going to have greater access to the community. You're going to increase interest because hopefully you'll be able to get in there to do your lap swimming in a reasonable hour. Part of that pool will be used for the competition teams, and then part of that pool should be used for the public, whether it be lap swimming, exercise classes, or whatever it is. So I see a 50-meter pool actually increasing membership. Me personally, I don't have a membership because of that reason. I go somewhere else for a more reasonable hour to swim. But if you had a 50-meter pool, greater access, I think that increases membership. So I'm just wondering how you came up with those two figures.
Well, there's two things. I mean, the 50-meter option that we're showing does not include the fitness. So it's kind of the worst of both worlds. It doesn't have the benefit of fitness, and it has also much double the size of the pool of the base option. The reality is, as soon as we take aquatics indoors, that option loses money. It's just a matter of how much money it loses. And it's just because we have all the parameters are different. We have to move all that water. We have to heat all that water. We have to condition the space. We have to use all the chemicals. And that's in the middle of the night when nobody's even in the pool, let alone during the day. Then we have to guard that pool based on state and national standards. So it's so much different than any other element in that facility in terms of the baseline requirements. It's costly to run a pool. So the bigger the pool is, the more costly it gets. And we cannot, because of the dynamics that we can't charge enough, whether it's just people lap swimming, whether it's competitive teams or others, to ever recover the true cost of operation, we would simply be able to go, I'm not going to swim. It's just too expensive. The other side of the point is, even though there's a number of fitness amenities in this facility, it is the most consistent demanded space in public centers across the country. And it commands a higher fee value for that. People are willing to pay for that. And we don't have the same requirements operationally on the cost side to maintain that. So they're different animals, and it's not to judge which one is a better activity. They're both great. It's just the reality that says the dynamics with competitive swimming or even any kind of swimming from a cost standpoint, or you're just starting with a higher baseline to begin with than any other element in that facility. So that drives down the cost recovery on that one. You know, if you look at the one where we showed that what happens if you added the fitness to the 50 meter, then that cost came down dramatically on that one. So that was more in line, is slightly more, but not dramatically more than we had the fitness to the 25 yard by 25 meter. So we're taking kind of the worst case scenario with the 50 meter, which is a large body of water with no fitness to help it out, and then saying, let's look at that with fitness that has that element that's going to just, we know, generates more dollars than it does cost. That's why the private sector does that. But you don't see the private sector doing big pools because it just doesn't float. So it doesn't work as well. So the whole dynamics of those two are very different. And again, this is strictly the dollar side of it. It's not a judgment on the value of swimming or competitive swimming, or saying one's more important than the other. It's just the realities of what it costs to run a pool.
So it seems that if you're going to put a pool in, 50 meter pool in, then it makes better sense to also put fitness in as well.
If it's purely dollars and cents, then yes, that's going to, that if your basic concern is trying to reduce the subsidy of the facility, then having fitness as part of this is by far the best thing you can do to include cost recovery.
Okay.
In fairness, I mean, this every community we work with, there's always the issue of, well, there's other private providers with fitness in the marketplace. In this day and age, virtually anywhere you go in America, even in almost the smallest of towns, there's somebody doing some form of fitness. But the market appeal for a facility like this generally is very different than the private provider. The other thing is, we don't have a huge allocation of space for fitness in it. We can't handle the fitness demand in Hershey, let alone in the primary market, and definitely not in the secondary market, because we've already honed that back in terms of the size and magnitude of that fitness amenity. So, and we find it's the typically most demanded space in a facility. It's also the most undersized in almost all public facilities. Consistently in terms of what people want to see more of, it's more fitness areas. And we're doing expansions to centers all across the country, and much of what's driving that is demand is coming from the users for more of that kind of space.
Okay. All right. So I would say then, as far as the public interest is concerned, to me, the way I look at it, it would seem to make more sense. I don't see what the public gets out of a 10-lane pool, because I don't see any greater access to that pool with it just being increased from 6 lanes to 10 lanes. With a 50-meter pool, I see the public benefiting as well as the competitive sports. So I just want to leave it at that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst.
Ken Ryland, 716 Old Trail Road. I recently moved to Derry Township, and I think one of the main reasons was for the swimming program at the high school. I came from a community in Maryland where the county had built 6 pools a number of years ago and has one of the strongest swimming programs in the country. But I think one of the draws here is you have an excellent coaching staff, an excellent high school team, and that was one of the reasons we moved here. And looking at the plans and what was presented tonight, I know those are big numbers up there, and the gentleman here, they're scary numbers if you know, but there are ways to recover that money. You have to be organized, and you have to have a lot of programs that will draw people in. You're not going to get those fees from people just coming up daily. Classes, lap swimmers, swim team programs. I noticed in your budget there, the numbers, you only had $127,000 difference between a 25-meter pool or 25-yard pool and a 50-meter pool. I can think from USA Swimming, there's probably about 6 events that you could host here. And I can tell you from other pools that rentals are anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 for a three-day weekend for a meet. Those costs are very high. A 50-meter pool, as the other gentleman said here, gives you a lot of flexibility so that people can swim at different times. Not everybody can swim in the morning. Not everybody can swim in the evening. We all have busy schedules. It's nice to have that flexibility to swim at any time during the day. Cost, I guess, for the 50-meter pool, I wanted to ask, are there any energy-saving devices in this design? I noticed all the nice solar panels back here. Do we have any solar? Is there any geothermal heating of the water that would keep the annual operating costs down? Was any of that designed into this facility?
My understanding is, and what we based on, is none of that has been determined up to this point.
Okay.
We were so conceptual in that, so we did not factor in any dramatic, you know, we could recall it a smart building, so it's going to have the basic things that are going to try to minimize utility costs, but nothing like geothermal factored in. Again, that's where we say you update this thing as the design gets further along, and so if those types of options begin to come forward, then you sit there and revisit some of that. But where we sit right now, we don't have enough indication of anything that would dramatically, potentially beyond just what we call a smart building design, that we could factor into the operating numbers at this point.
Yeah, if I could just add on to that. Well, throughout the conceptual stage of the design, we have been looking at sort of the operational side of it with the architects in terms of, you know, where's the mechanical room, where are the pumps located, trying to minimize pumping costs and energy associated with that. We have not gotten into the detail yet of what the HVAC systems look like or what the heat recovery systems look like relative to the pool or to the HVAC systems yet. Although, to Ken's point, you know, the envelopes of current buildings are certainly much better than any buildings, you know, 50 years old, certainly, that the code requirements and the technology continues to improve in terms of what those envelopes need to look like and how those buildings perform relative to energy costs and utility needs.
Just actually asked the committee to look at what other communities are doing in this area. Lebanon Y has added a whole new fitness center. They just completed that, I guess, about a year or so ago. Lititz has increased their facility. They just built a whole new wing. So the demand, I think, is there if you build the right facility. There's a shortage of 50-meter pools in this central Pennsylvania area. I can tell you we're having a lot of problems finding places to host large venue meets. And the 50-meter pool is not just used for 50 meters. You can have 20 lanes going in the 25-yard or 25-meter direction. A lot of these meets now have hundreds of athletes that are coming from New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland to compete in these events. Be a great source of rental income to offset some of these costs, and I think it would benefit more than just having a 25-meter or a 25-yard pool. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sir, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Ken Ryland, R-Y-L-A-N-D.
Thanks. And Mr. Chairman, before we lose people in the audience here, I do want to extend an apology to Ms. Court publicly for that laughter. It was not intentional. It did happen, and it was inappropriate, and I apologize for that. Mr. Storr.
Jack Storm, 1086 Hillview Lane. I guess I represent the senior citizen portion of this whole thing. Okay, enough said. The fact of the matter is, you guys deserve a lot of credit. You guys have done a great job. You've done what this community has asked you to do, and you've done it well. Are we excited about the price? I don't think so. But you've got to do some things in life, and you've got to do them, and if you're going to do them, you need to do them right. So we have to consider that as number one. Matt, you're outstanding. I mean, what you do, and for this community, God bless you. Nobody wants your job. The folks up on the stage, this community is better off because of you. You may not always agree all the time, but you have the interest of this community at hand. That's wonderful. That's what we're here for. We need to work on these things together. You've had a lot of different ideas. Where's Greg? Greg spoke earlier tonight. Good job. I mean, that made a lot of sense as far as the non-lap swimmer, the common sense of what we can do. I'm of the belief that we have a lot of intelligent, hardworking individuals in this community that if we put our efforts together, we can pull this thing off. We can do anything. Because of a good idea, geothermal. I didn't think about that. It's a pretty good idea. It might work. Let's look into something like that. But the biggest thing is, how do we pay for this? Oh, we'll just pass it off to the taxpayers. No, no, no. There's other ways, I believe, that we can make this project work. There's enough entities, I'm not calling it that we name it after Hershey Auto or McDonald's, okay? But there are entities out there that are willing and have the dollars and could possibly support some of these initiatives to keep these costs within reasonable areas. And I think by doing that, we have something that we can really pull off here as a community. And it's going to benefit. It's 2020, you know, how many of us are going to be here in 2050? Put your hands up. The fact of the matter is, we're trying to build something not in perpetuity like Milton Hershey School, but we're trying to build something here that is good for this community for a long period of time. And if we're going to do it, well, let's do it right. But let's be smart enough to know how to do it right. And let's take these ideas that these folks have given to you guys, that you guys have given to us, and massage this a little bit. It's not going to happen overnight. By the way, we do get kicked out in 2020, Foley, from that. So the senior
center.
But that's I probably won't be here. But anyhow, I think by working together, I applaud everybody. I think the questions that came out from the public are just outstanding here. And again, we're not in total agreement all the time. But I think together we're going to come up with some type of a consensus that'll gel this community. So, that's all.
Sherry Fackler, 1048 Fairdale Drive, Hummelstown, PA, but I am a Derry Township resident. I want to thank everybody who... I want to thank everybody who's put a lot of hours into this project, and specifically the supervisors for addressing it. The rec center, being 54 years old, has really needed help, and unfortunately you've been the board that has had to take a hold of it and deal with it. And I am sorry that prior administrations maybe didn't set aside the funds that are needed. But here we are, a 54-year-old facility. And I know a lot of the folks who've been working on the project, and they've come at it with heart. We've had seniors who are looking for a new home because they will not have a center in 2020. Pardon me if I feel passionate about this, but people have put in a lot of hours. And I have to tell you, there have been a lot of meetings. Folks have showed up with passion and said, we've got to fix this. And so I know it's a big price tag, but I feel confident that the people who've contributed have looked at a lot of puzzle pieces. It's been, what is the right building for our senior citizens to be in? What is the right program that will provide a space for our children after school? What is the right building that will provide swimming, not just for the competitive swim team, who also does not have a pool at the high school, but also for seniors who want to swim at 4 in the afternoon? There's not enough space in the 25-meter pool. And so what I want you all to know is the 50-meter option, while it might be a little more expensive, expands programming, not just for swimmers, but for other things we may want to add as a community, or those people who aren't getting in when they would like to, like the Special Olympics program that could continue to grow, but it's limited by water space. We also don't have water polo. That could be an option. We don't have time or space for that. The swim coach is not going to love that I just said that, so maybe we could delete that from the minutes. But this project is complex, and the community can handle it. I know we can handle it. And I'm just asking that we all make a good faith effort. I know we can run a capital campaign. We've built a few things in the town, and we've been able to do it. And I think we can put the puzzle pieces together to inspire our community to make this happen. But I hate to just see it get thrown away because it does have a big price tag. But I think we can all bring a different element. There are people who've been working on this for a couple of years behind the scenes. Mrs. Drexler says seven. And we've had different people come in and leave because it's a hard project and it takes a lot of time. And so my primary reason for coming to the microphone is to acknowledge it's an expensive program. It is going to benefit more people than currently benefit from our rec center because honestly, the way we as Americans exercise has changed dramatically in 54 years. People are living longer. Swimming is one of the best exercises you can do in your later years because it's not hard on your joints. And just our overall knowledge of the value of exercise. If you're a senior in a senior center, there is a good chance you'll be in silver sneakers, and at a minimum you will walk when you're at the center, but at a maximum you may take a class with other 60 or 70 year olds because people are living much longer, and so we get the value of that. And so I want to thank you because I do know this is a really long, hard project, and I acknowledge that it's an expensive project. But I do have faith in this community that we've done a lot of research and we can put these pieces together and build the right thing that will last the next 54 years until the next group of people get to figure it out. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry. And just so we can keep everybody on task and focused, go ahead and step up to the microphone. We're going to have a hard stop in about 8 minutes. We're going to stop at 7:15, and hopefully everyone will have an opportunity.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Get a little closer. There you go.
My name is Greg Fastrich. I've been the head coach of the Hershey High School swim team and the Hershey Aquatic Club for the past 20 years. I've been involved in the aquatics world for 39 out of my 44 years. I have a passion for it in all aspects, for the Special Olympics, the Learn to Swim programs, anything the aquatics world can offer. With that being said, I guess Sherry said, Matt and Zach, they've been phenomenal working with the Aquatic Club over the past 20 years. We've had our hurdles, and they've come through for the Aquatic Club in a positive light. And this is an awesome thing that's occurring in the aquatics world in the community. With that being said, Mr. Weir, you had a question of what's growing. A lot of things are growing that need water. Diving, synchronized swimming, water polo, swimming. I know in USA Swimming, it grows 15% every year. In the community of Hershey, we can't grow. We're locked in at about 150 athletes. We could grow over 200, 250. That includes our primary area, but we're restricted. Right now, we have 6 lanes. We swim up here at the Vista School, which has 4 lanes, 10 total lanes. As some people have already said, the 25 yard by 25 meter isn't really increasing pool time for anyone, not our team included. And then on top of that, the lap swimming, all the other things that can occur between the hours of 3 and 7:30, which the Aquatic Club uses the rec center for, we hoard up all that time, where it would alleviate that issue and open up more programming in the evenings and immediately after school. Talking with other teams in the area, there is a big interest in coming to Hershey. We're going to be hosting a 10 and under meet for the first time October 29th, a Sunday morning. We have teams from Philadelphia coming. We have teams from Allentown coming. Why do you want to come? Well, we want to go to Hershey Park, Creatures in the Night. They want to come to Hershey because they know there's other things to do other than come to a place, compete, go home. Hershey draws a lot of things. There's a lot of interest from PIAA within our own District 3. There's a lot of interest to bring things to Hershey, which would benefit our community. Aside from that, the fitness aspect, again, you have to have it, but it has to be a fitness sizable to draw interest away from the private sector. I know everyone's talking about Powertrain. Powertrain could up and leave. I don't know when their lease is up, when their contract is, but there's going to be a time when they're gone. I don't know how long this school building is going to stay there. Okay, they're not going to be there for another 100 years. So eventually Powertrain is going to have to leave. Everyone's going to have to leave that whole corner. But if we neglect the fitness area and all that goes away, where does that go? So not only do we need the larger pool for the community, we need a larger fitness area to help subsidize the future. Again, we're looking for another 50 years. This is the time that we have to do the building, the planning, everything correct. What I get from other, I travel to a lot of pools, college pools, community pools, high schools, everything. And a lot of times the projects aren't done correctly. They try to condense things, they do this, do that, and it's always, we wish we could have had this, we should have done that. Okay, we know it costs money, but doing it right brings people in. It brings memberships, it brings competitions, it brings a lot more if it's done right. This is the center of a lot of things. Mr. Cook said it. Everyone comes to Central PA. We have Hershey Park. We have all the competitions, the championships, not just high school. A lot more could come, and that brings revenue to our community. So it's time to get it done and do it right. I'd love to be able to expand my team. I've coached over 800 community members, kids. I'd love to grow that over the years. But at this time, what we have is constricted and limited, and we're not able to reach everyone we possibly could. So that's all.
Thank you very much. Last call, so to speak.
Hi there, I'm Connie Wagner, 803 Plymouth Road in Hershey. I've been here since the early 60s. I used to ride my bike to the plaza. So I understand how swimming is an important part of a child's upbringing. Two things. I appreciate the in-depth questions, Mark. I wrote down the word disingenuous myself to say the primary service area is 64,000 people when Derry Township has 25,000. If you're expecting 39,000 other people to come to the Hershey Pool, I would have a hard time believing that, so I appreciate the hard questions, the devil's in the details. And the second part is, on a fixed income, such as I am, I understand bringing in PIAA and Olympic quality swimmers. Why am I asked to subsidize that? If the supervisors want to consider a room tax, when I go to Philadelphia or California or Vermont, I pay a 3 to 10% additional tax on my hotel room to cover the police, to cover the local facilities, to cover the pool. So you want, I don't know what Matt's planning on charging for these people to come to Hershey, but it's my tax money that's supporting, and I don't know how many parking spaces are going to be at this facility. So those are the details, and I appreciate you asking them, Mark.
You get 2 minutes, Dave.
Okay. Thank you. Dave Weaver, 1163 Galway Court. Just a couple questions on the figures. What's the current revenue of the Aquatics Center?
The current revenue?
Yeah, they're projecting $1.9 million.
And it's about $900,000.
Okay, so this, you're projecting that this new center will generate $1 million, over double the revenue.
Yeah,
it's not the same facility at all. I mean, this is a building that's probably almost four times the size of what's there now. It's got dramatically more space than what's there now, so it's not comparable to look at the revenue coming out of that existing building. For all the shortcomings, I mean, it's basically a six-lane pool and a multi-purpose room right now, so the pool is your major program area. But we have, in terms of the rest of the building now, is a much larger facility that will command a rate structure and be able to provide enough programs and services to generate that kind of income. I mean, that's why it's significantly larger.
I understand it's a new, different building, but you're suggesting that from the same demographic, we're going to generate double the revenue.
Yes, and that's done. That's done consistently.
Okay.
And I understand that people look at this and go, those numbers, those things are huge, but actually they're not for the types of amenities and for the marketplace they're going into.
Okay. And I got here a little late, and I know you were discussing the Moeller Center. Are they that revenue is not included from Moeller Center in that, right?
At this point, there's no revenue being generated from Moeller Center to seniors at all.
Okay. And the last question, you left out a very important figure in the expense, and that's the debt service figure. And I'm wondering why that figure is left out. We talk about projecting a lot of other figures that there's a lot of variables in figuring out what the revenues and expense figures are, and I imagine there's variables in determining the debt service figure also. But there could be something put in there because it's going to be a big number.
Yeah, that's a great point. Where we're at right now is in order to determine what that overall construction cost is going to be, we need to determine what this final program is going to be. Once we determine what that final construction cost is, then we can start looking at funding opportunities, what piece of the construction cost that's going to take care of, capital campaign. And then once we have all of those types of funding sources in place, then we'll know in terms of what type of a bond issue that we may have to float, and then we'll know our debt service. Now, you need to know, we're working hard in the background. We have five or six different scenarios right now of varying bond levels and what do they mean in terms of debt service. So until we don't want to plug it in until we know what the program is and what the final construction cost is, if that answers your question.
And I know at one of the previous meetings, supervisors asked for creative financing. I forget your name, but you were talking about you need to work together, develop ways to finance. This project seems really focused on aquatics and swimming, which is fine. I'd like to suggest that the Hershey Aquatic Club or whoever the group is that really promotes the swimming in Dare Township, they may want to take a piece of the ownership of the building by selling shares to their memberships. If it's going to be a revenue generator, they can get a dividend off of that. But maybe they can run the $800,000 deficit if there's a, I don't know if there's how many members there are, 400 members, you sell shares for $200 a share. You can get the $800,000 perhaps, or $2,000 a share. That's one option, you know, perhaps. And then they get a piece of ownership. Their events are going to be predominantly taking up time at the facility. So, you know, maybe they sell a 10-15% share for Hershey Aquatic Club. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Christine.
Christine Drexler. First of all, 7 years. 7 years I have been fighting for this. And I don't get it. I don't get what the disconnect is. I could say that we have hungry children in our community, and within 4 months, we're feeding those hungry children.
without anybody batting an eye. 54 years ago, somebody had a vision for our community and said, we need to have this center. Not only did they have the foresight to have a center, but it was a state-of-the-art center that actually lasted for 54 years. 7 years ago, I came and asked you to believe with me when it was $16 million, and everybody balked at it. Now we're at a place where it is impossible to balk at it anymore, and the price tags have gone up. But guess what? This community has a proven track record of raising funds and doing what's right. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why this project, we can't just do what's right for our community because it's right for everybody, not for one sector, not just for swimming, not just for the seniors, not just for whoever wants to walk around the track or hang out, because it's right for every single person that will walk through that door. These people have taken a leap of faith and understand that we have to do something, put in countless hours, listen to constant complaints instead of gratitude. Gratitude that we have the ability to work together as a common goal and be the people that stand up and say, in 2020, we were the ones. We were the ones. So I think we need to stop complaining, stop being unkind to each other, start being kind, and get moving to get this project done and to stand there with pride when we walk through the doors. And I thank every one of you up there that finally are the people to believe with me and not send me packing. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. And I'll risk saying, is there anyone else? If not, thank you all for coming out. This meeting is adjourned. Have a good evening. Thank you.
you're in charge of it.
Once they vote, we have people that are ready to go get the money.
Yeah.
I was going to invest.
He gets it all the time. I see it every minute.
Maybe he's not all right.
I'm Rich Campbell. Is your name?
Christine Dressel. Nice to meet you.
Okay. Get some
history.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. I just want to say,
Yeah.
You ever spend 2 days in one place?
Yeah, every once in a while.
I had to come out. I was at my
younger son's house.
Chill on North.
That was a
long
way
to come.
Oh, that's.
But yeah, I do.